I would like to welcome you here to this rather frosty last day of October. And on the calendar, it is Halloween. It is also the eve of All Saints Day, which is the day we remember those who have passed. So I find it very fitting that we are having our memorial service on the day before. It is the day where we normally would do that. So, welcome here. Welcome to this place of worship. May you feel God's presence as you enter here. Let's pray. God of every place, some of us see you today from mountains of joy and confidence, mountains of gratitude and praise. Some of us seek you today from valleys of grief or doubt, valleys of loss or exhaustion. And in all places, there you are with us, nudging us onward. When we descend from the heights, show us your presence on the ground. When we rise from the depths, show us the light of your way. Meet us all on the path made by Jesus. Amen. For our call to worship, I am going to read a couple of verses from Colossians. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is also the wrap-up of our study in Colossians, so I will be reading pieces of Colossians throughout the service today. For our first hymn, I would like you to take out Sing the Journey and turn to page 14. Lord Jesus, you shall be my song. You will notice that there are two verses in English and two verses in French. And then on the other page, there are the other two verses in English. So verse 1 and 2 are in the notation part, and verse 3 and 4 are on the next page. There, we will be singing this to a video, or to them, to the quartet. There is absolutely no introduction, so we just jump right in. If you get lost, listen. If not, but pick up wherever you can.
Lord Jesus, you shall be my song as I journey. I'll tell everybody about you wherever I go. You
to carry on cross to
Creator. Amen. And these words of assurance from Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, we are holy and dearly loved, clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We'll have our announcements, and I know there's a couple of presentations that need to be made, and while they're coming and getting ready for that, I will tell you about three announcements, two that are in the bulletin, one that is not. Next Sunday, November 7th, is our second session with Josh Wallace with Reimagining, and that will start at 10:30. There will be no Sunday school. And if you're interested in what we did last week, the timeline is in the foyer of the education wing. So please take the time to look at it and see what we've already accomplished, where we've been, the high points and the low points, and where we have joined the church. And on November 14th, Kelly and Lanny Weens will be joining us to share a little bit about their vision for their new ministry that they are creating. And if you don't know who Kelly and Lanny Weens are, Lanny is my sister. And she grew up in this church. I was going to say, well, how many years did she spend here? That's too many to count. So Lanny grew up here, and they have a mission. They are starting a mission, and for the life of me, my mind has just gone blank.
Fire Runner Ministries.
And they will be here for Sunday school to teach a little bit about intercessory prayer, and then they will have the Sunday morning service. The third announcement, mark your calendars, November 19th. That is a Friday night. George and Toby Avith will be here and to share a little bit about what they've been doing and to share where they're going. They are retired missionaries whom we have been supporting in the past. So they are retiring, and they are coming through on November 19th. So mark that on your calendar. And we will need a place for them to stay the night. If anybody's interested, talk to Denise or I. Now, Peter and Beatrice.
Dan, I'll ask you to come up for a minute, if you wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm. October has been declared Pastor Appreciation Month. And I just want to take this opportunity on behalf of the congregation to thank you for your work and the words that you shared and the people that you've helped, and to ask God's blessing for you as a forward. Just as I told you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad Rose is not here, because then I can keep this for me. Whatever it is. Me and her have some flowers.
Dan, would you come out, please? Right, Dan. These aren't for you.
Oh, I'll just say that for being about Rose. She's getting cancer treatments, and I'll be in and out this week to Regina. She's in the hospital, but this morning when they took her blood pressure, they couldn't find any pulse. And the nurse and her agreed she was alive.
So because Lisa can't be here this morning, she has other obligations. Ben is her stand-in. And Ben, if you'd like to hold me, I'm going to read what I wanted to say. Lisa, as a pastor in training, we would like to acknowledge and encourage you in the work you are doing, preaching here at North Star as well as virtually in Kelowna, leading the girls' club, interacting with the general women's group as a guide, and continuing with your studies as well as other church-related activities you are involved with. Thank you. Wishing you God's blessings as you continue in this work.
It is now time for the children. We have to use a cappella because I forgot to tell the people that in the back that we needed. So, let the children come to me. Let the children come. Never hinder them. Never stop them. Oh, let the children come. Awesome. You guys are great at a cappella. At this time, I'd like to pray for our offering, and we again are in the front or in the back. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to give back to you what you have so graciously given to us. May you multiply what we have given to your glory and to the work of your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I'll ask you to turn in your hymnal worship book, that's this blue one, and we will be singing 288, Rejoice the Lord is King, 288, and we will be singing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thanks, I'll see you.
I will be reading selected verses from Colossians. And they are in your insert, but they're not, I'm not going to read them in the order they're in there. So you'll kind of have to jump around and see where we are. We have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And in Colossians 4:17-18, we discover that the importance Paul has with his co-workers in the faith. And I'm often curious if our names would be on that list if we were there or he was here. At this time, I will turn it over to Dan.
Good morning. Welcome to your visitors. It's good to see you. And I'll say it later, but you know, one of the things about COVID is it's kept us from those regular rituals of supporting each other, grieving in the fashion we're used to. And this is, today is just another day of remembering and helping us mourn and supporting each other. How are we going to remember our sermon series on Colossians? What are some helpful ways to remember the lessons of this wonderful book? In a very direct way, our Sunday school lesson this morning, the men's at least, was about remembering, and remembering the Ten Commandments, remembering God, and remembering Colossians is very much a part of who we are as believers. Now, one way to remember Colossians is to pick out key verses, like are in your bulletin insert on the one side, or as Donna, picked and added into our worship this morning. Might be hard, actually. I found it hard to put those verses together because Colossians is such a rich book. But it might be a good exercise for you as you have time, or choose to find the time. An old couple was realizing they were losing their memory. They decided they would go to a doctor to see about the problem. The doctor said, "Well, there isn't much I can do, but you could try one thing." "What's that?" they asked. "You could try writing down everything, so if you ever forgot something, you would have have a reference. The old couple took this into consideration, although the old man was skeptical. One day, the couple was sitting out on their front porch. The old man said to his wife, "You know, I feel like some ice cream. I'm going home to go get some." "Give me some too," the woman said, "and vanilla with chocolate sprinkles." The man headed in, but the old woman called out to him before he could fully enter the house and said, "Wait, don't you think you should do what the doctor said and write this down?" "Ah, I'll be fine," he said. 20 minutes later, the man returned to his wife with a plate of bacon and eggs. The old woman said, "I can't believe this. I told you to write this down, but you refused." "What did I forget?" her husband asked. The woman angrily yelled to his face, "You forgot the toast." As I've been reflecting over the past couple months on how to end our time in Colossians, I didn't want to just stop at the last verse like I did a few weeks ago. I realized that we could combine a review or a summary with our annual remembrance time. I hope you have reread Colossians several times during the past month. If you haven't, you can always read it. Maybe you do remember a few specific things about the book from our time studying it. I know much of it has been a reminder of following Jesus, of things we already know. But just like with every meal, we need to feed on spiritual mysteries and remember the rich taste of life Jesus offers us. In the men's Sunday school class, one of the comments to the question of how do we remember was, "Go to church." I hope you have some new thought or two about the importance of following Jesus from this book. And I hope we all have a greater understanding of the Apostle Paul and his key concerns and passions. Maybe some of the issues used have given you greater clarity, and some of the illustrations maybe have helped. We still have the same heresies today that we struggle with. We still have the same keys to a full spiritual life with the Lord Jesus and each other as the congregation and the wider body of Christ. One way to remember Colossians is to memorize the section titles that your Bible gives you. Many Bibles nowadays have section titles. Those are usually helpful, not always. We also have the 15 sermon titles in this series, and maybe my reciting them now will trigger your memory in some way. Making sense of the Colossians in introduction, reasons for thankfulness, Paul's model of intercessory prayer, the supreme adequacy of Christ, Jesus, the supreme reconciler, Paul's labor for the church, Christ is sufficient, don't be fooled, freedom from human rules, the risen life is oriented to the exalted Christ, the things to leave behind, rules for dressing, submission rules for Christian households, the religious duties of prayer and evangelism, saints of the early church. In many respects, our regular spiritual practices are acts of remembering. They remind us about Jesus. They help us relearn what we should take off and what we should put on in our daily habits and our thinking. And it's not unusual for an idea to be new or timely for us. It's not unusual for some part of Scripture to jump out at us because the Holy Spirit is at work in us. Maybe we are troubled, struggling with an issue, and need the reminder for our spiritual health and to grow in maturity. For me, it's remarkable how much perception Paul had about the church of Colossae. Even though he had not visited it, he was full of wisdom and insight. There doesn't seem to be a wasted word in the book of Colossians. It's clear Paul spent time thinking and praying about what to write and how to write. His words have impact today and for the future. They are timeless attitudes and truths to take in and develop. We can learn from the way Paul argues and defends a point, especially the way he keeps pointing to Jesus and the habits of prayer and thankfulness and speaking out to others the good news. There was an old man who lived by a forest. As he grew older and older, he started losing his hair until one day, on his deathbed, he was completely bald. That day, he called his children to a meeting. He said, "Look at my hair. It used to be so magnificent, but it's completely gone now. My hair can't be saved. But look outside in the forest. It is such a lovely forest with so many trees, but sooner or later they'll all be cut down, and this forest will look as bald as my head." "What I want you to do," the man continued, "is every time a tree is cut down or dies, plant a new one in my memory. Tell your descendants to do the same. It shall be our family's duty to keep this forest strong." And they did so. Each time the forest lost a tree, the children replanted one. And so did their children and their children after them. And for centuries, the forest remained as lush and pretty as it once was, all because of one family and his receding hairline. This is our call. It's our job to receive the gospel message over and over again at every chance we get, just like we plant every growing season, to have heirs who are following Jesus. And some of our remembering of those who have died involves the ways they seeded their lives and their faith into us and into this congregation of God's church. They passed on to us the major themes of Colossians, and the major one is the complete supreme adequacy of Christ as contrasted with the emptiness of mere human philosophy. One way to remember the teachings and wisdom of Colossians is to summarize it as a whole or to summarize each chapter. Here is how one person, Julie Cameron, puts it. "It is important to look into the mystery of Christ, which is hidden for generations and now disclosed to the saints. It is a glorious reminder of everything Christ did for us in conquering sin and death. It shows his supremacy over all things and explains what our godly response should be." Colossians 1, the supremacy of Christ. This chapter opens with a prayer of thanksgiving. Like many of Paul's letters, he prays that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He encourages us that the gospel continues to grow and bear fruit, just as it is doing in us. He paints a marvelous picture of Christ's supremacy, demonstrated by his eternal nature that both created everything and continuously holds it in place. Paul reiterates his mission, which is to present the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery hidden for ages, but now revealed to you and me, and is in us. This mystery of Christ is in each of us, the hope for the world, the hope of glory. Chapter 2, Life in Christ. Paul continues to explain the mystery of God, which is Jesus Christ. We are encouraged to continue in him in the same way we received him by faith. We are reminded of Jesus' glorious victory on the cross, where he completely annihilated all powers that accuse and oppose us, including the written code and our sin. We are reminded that our spiritual circumcision was done by the Spirit of God. We are encouraged to put aside principles and rules that are based on human teachings and commands and sometimes our own desires. Colossians 3. Put on the new self. We are reminded that we have been raised with Christ, so we should set our hearts on things above. We died with Christ to the things of this world. We are instructed to put them aside alongside our old self, with our old self. And in its place, put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of our Creator. Paul then gives practical ways in how to live this out, as well as instructions for family life. Colossians 4, to proclaim the mystery of Christ. This chapter gives us instructions on prayer. Paul reminds us to be devoted to prayer, praying that presented clearly. We are instructed to make the most of each opportunity, speaking to each other with grace in our conversations. Paul closes the letter with a final greeting to the church from others who minister with him. And we learn some lessons about the qualifications of being a team player. I have wondered for some time what story would summarize and highlight the message of Colossians. Then I came across this illustration. A church was looking for a new pastor, and the district superintendent sat down with the church leaders to talk about what they wanted to see in this new person. Someone who can attract young families, they said. This made sense because the church had been in decline for many years, and the congregation was aging. So the district superintendent asked them, "What is it about your church that young families would find attractive now?" They looked at each other and then at the floor. "Well, what attracted you to this church when you first came here?" the DS asked encouragingly. And, you know, we were asked last week what, you know, to put on the timeline when we became a part of this church. Well, they answered, "It's a fellowship. This is where I can see my friends every week. And we can catch up with each other's lives," one woman replied. "It's where I get a sense of belonging, where my friendships are formed," another said. The district superintendent thought for a moment and then said, "Yes. And these days, people who are under the age of 35 with children can get that same sense of belonging and friendship building at their kids' soccer games or other sports activities. And for Canada, we could add hockey. They built friendships with other parents whose kids were involved in the same things their kids were involved in. They do not need church for fellowship." What else? "Church is where I get involved in helping other people. We work at the food pantry or take a meal to the homeless shelter, and I get a lot of satisfaction out of that," said one man. Yes, and people who are under the age of 35 do those things too. They just don't need church to help them do that. They are very involved in social justice issues, but they work through secular organizations to get that same satisfaction. What else? The DS asked. The room was silent. Someone coughed. Finally, the district superintendent said, "What is the one thing that church has to offer that soccer teams and social agencies and friendship groups often don't?" Anyone? Still, no answer. Okay, look at it this way. What difference has being part of this church made to your faith? How has following Jesus Christ as a member of this congregation changed your life? "Oh, Pastor," one man grumbled, "you don't want to go there. That's getting too personal." Well, the DS answered, "It's the one thing you have going for you that other social groups and service groups don't. The one thing the church can claim as its own is Jesus. And if you can't identify how Jesus has changed your life, what makes you think anyone else would be attracted to your church?" Colossians is a powerful book that reminds us to focus our attention on the wisdom that the complete supremacy of Christ is what we and the world desperately need. May we be thankful for these words. Let's sing from our blue hymnal, 366.
I think we've all been sitting long enough. Let's stand, if you're able, and let's sing 366, God of Grace and God of Glory. And we will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
invite you to go to the insert, the prayer litany of remembrance and celebration. As we move to this time of remembering people, and by this last year, let's thank God for the influence of their lives. We remember what seeds they planted in us and in this world, this community. I'll say it again, but I think it's worth reminding ourselves. I think that because of COVID, we've lost opportunities for those normal processes of grieving. And I know some people here, some families have found ways to work at that, and that is wonderful. Today's another way to do this, to support each other, to cherish our memories, to reflect on how God has touched us through loved ones. I pray that this time may help us. May this short ceremony be another step toward healing as we grieve. As we responsibly read this prayer litany, may our memories cause us to smile. In this simple yet deeply important act, we name for each other and ourselves that death, the loss of the visible life of a loved one, simply does not have dominion because of our memories, and especially a loving Creator, the gift of His Son, Jesus. We believe we will meet again someday. As 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, we remind ourselves the answer to the question, where, O death, is your victory? The answer, when this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory because of the Creator God who loves us through Jesus' actions on our behalf. So when we come to naming each name, we invite persons to come forward to light a candle for that person. A group can come, or an individual can come. After the worship service, family members are welcome to take the candle, but not the sleeve home, as another way to remember. And there may be other people that come to mind. There is an opportunity, as you see, after the naming of names, and just call out, come forward, and we think we left enough candles, have enough candles up here. So let's offer these words as a memorial prayer. Grace unto you and peace from God, who was and who is and who is to come.
Amen. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, ruler of all rulers of the earth.
In love, Jesus Christ suffered death to free us from our sins and show us the way to live.
May we all who confess Christ and the nation of Greece set aside for God's glory. To Jesus Christ be glory and power forever and ever.
The Lord is our light and salvation.
The Lord shall be feared.
The Lord is the stronghold of our lives.
The Lord shall be afraid.
Almighty God, we lift up the saints in our midst who have gone before us.
Creator God, we lift up those who have chosen to become attached to your Son's vine.
Holy God, you breathe life into all creatures. You make us into living temples, and you sustain us in our sorrows.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ, for your wondrous works in our lives, your forgiveness of sins,
we lift up to you now those who have died over the last year. We trust them to your loving hands and thank you for comforting us.
We thank you for the lives they lived and how they
represented
you to us.
We that to live
is Christ and to die is gain. Death has been swallowed up in the victory of the power of God.
We celebrate the lives of the saints who have gone before us. Bob McLaren. Isaac greeted her. Bell Mullet. Mary Schmidt. Bill Ebert. Michael Luzon. Michelle, sorry. Sam Bobovan. Phyllis and Stan Kreutzer. These are friends of Hope Aldred who moved to Calgary and now Airdrie. They both died of COVID fairly soon after she moved there. She asked us to remember them, as well as remember Stan. You are invited to name others and come forward and light a candle for them. Don Trump. Thank you. Kim Frelin, her son-in-law's parents, Irene's son-in-law. And Keith's mother, Jessica. And we all know Keith. He attended before COVID. Wesley Klinger. And what's religion? Friend from Massacre. Don Bean, who grew up in the Sharon Church. Well, I didn't think we'd use them all. Mary Jean probably would. But is there anybody else? We got some tea lights. Well, we can give you a candle. We got someone out back there. Anybody else? Just as a matter of curiosity, how many died from COVID? Can you raise the hand? Okay. Yeah. We also, as I continue reading, we also light a candle for those around the world who have died because of war, violence, natural tragedy, sin, accidents, and the absence of justice, grief, absence of justice and selfishness and because of greed. And, you know, one of the things that's happened these last 2 years is we've just been filled, overflowing with tragedies. And I've heard many times, we're lucky to live in Saskatchewan. People, we pray. They and their loved ones have found peace. Help survivors discover and live Jesus the holy way. Jesus taught us, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die.
Jesus, you are all
of
grace and peace, because only in you
do we find real peace. Bless those who are now at peace in your loving arms.
So it's going to be on the screen, and you're going to sing it to a track, a CD. They play the entire song through first before we sing. So when they start singing, you can start singing, and we will sing all three verses. Let's stand if you're ready. And there's a little piece of music at the end, so we'll listen to that afterward.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Do you have any praises or prayers? Give you a chance to think, but update. Oh, sorry, John, go ahead.
Ken Choir contacted us yesterday to let us know that Vern Newfold, the youth pastor and music pastor here, is here today in the middle of COVID and inviting our concern and our prayers.
Thank you for your living word, which continues to reveal Almighty God and for the gift of your Spirit to help us interpret your wisdom in the midst of challenging times, including grief. God of guidance, eternal God, we give you thanks for people in our lives and across the ages who have shown us your loving kindness through their witness to Christ in so many different situations. Inspire us by their examples and show us how we too can live out our faith in the midst of challenging times. God of guidance, speak. Loving God, you call us to care for those in need and show hospitality to strangers in our midst. Thank you for your persistent love, which continues to comfort and challenge us all. Open our hearts and eyes so that we can see how to offer that love to others every day in many ways. God of guidance, speak to us today. Living life, living God, you bring life, new life to the discouraged and those facing death and danger. Thank you for signs of hope which break into pressures of the pandemic and its varied consequences for so many in the midst of these times. God of guidance, creating God, we praise you for the beauty of this world and the rhythms of nature which sustain us. Give us courage to act on behalf of your creation where it is stressed or broken, and nurture our commitment to act as stewards within creation in the midst of challenging times. We lift up the meetings about climate change that are going on now and wish for more action. God of guidance, wise God, hear us in this time of silence as we lay before you people and places and situations on our hearts today, like Vern Neufeld and Joey, where people are mourning and grieving, facing death, where their families need your support and encouragement, and we can name others. Now we join our voices with the followers of Jesus in every time and place in the words he taught us all. Our Father, who is in heaven,
no more crying there, we are going to see the King.
With thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Amen. Go in peace.